Entitled today's message, The Flip Side of Temptation. That might be a little hard for you to get at, but I was avoiding a word, and then I realized the word really does help you figure out what we're going to talk about today. So it's really the backside of temptation. I just didn't want anybody to raise any fuss about it. But the backside of temptation is our subject today. Luke 4:14 is the text from the passage that Eric read. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. Let's pray. Father, in this power of the Spirit lies the secret to strength and wisdom in our own discipleship. And we pray that through the power of the Spirit, we'll be enabled to hear a message in our heart, either with or without human words, that will spur us to have revelation, internal revelation from you, from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the beginning of this passage that Eric read brings us important information. It was in the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus returned to Galilee. This is sort of the summation of an experience that we didn't have with our scripture this morning, which is Jesus being driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And we read, if we back up, we read that driving out was the Holy Spirit driving Jesus into the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit fell on Jesus at his baptism in the form of a dove. The Spirit immediately drives Jesus into the wilderness where he is tempted for 40 days and nights. And then we have this. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about temptation and the backside of it. Okay? The value in resisting temptation, and what use is there, after all? So many of us in our Christian faith just basically look like a honey, you know, a bowl of honey with all kinds of different flies and insects attracted to it. We're just basically fodder for any temptation that comes our way. It's a little more nuanced than that, though, isn't it? We know that my temptations are not necessarily the temptations that you experience. And from one person to another, temptation seems to be custom fit for our personality, for our predilection to yielding to things, and really to our ability to commit idolatry, because that's one thing that temptation is idolatry. I wanted to bring one scripture to bear on this to begin with. And so in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Temptation is a fact of life for us, and I think it's great that Jesus actually, that it's recorded that Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted. It was an opportunity for Jesus to demonstrate for us how we can be victorious over temptation or in temptation. Now, guys, we kind of have, of the two sexes, we're the ones who say, "Just couldn't help it. You know, I just couldn't help myself." I don't hear that from women very much, but we sure tell women that a lot. "I just couldn't help it." And that couldn't be farther from the truth according to Scripture. Yielding to temptation is a failing that Christians should resist. One powerful part of this verse are the words "common to man." We've explored before how a lot of times English translation of a Greek concept or idea just doesn't quite reach it, you know? And here's an example. Because of this word that is translated "common to man," leads us in a direction that's maybe misleading. The passage there should be translated trifling, small, short, moderate. In other words, average or less. The notion is here that there's no temptation coming to me or you, except that it is common to everybody, like a garden variety of common. And another way of reading this, it would be, folks, you just haven't been tempted to the point that some people, others, have. There are great temptations that we know great people have endured. There are marvelous examples of people like Joseph in Genesis resisting temptation. We know that the Israelites were constantly dealing with this attraction to idols, and so their need to resist temptation was always in the front of their life as a people. But God tells us here that our temptations rarely rise to the level of above average. And that except what is normal and common to human beings, we have quite a job dealing with our own temptation. The scripture also in the same breath says that God will not let you be tried above the strength he provides. So if the temptation has come our way, God is there with the ability and the strength we need to resist. He'll provide you with comfort as he provides assistance and strength. Another way of looking at it is, as trials come in, the way out is appearing. It's amazing when you think about it that with temptation, God makes a deliverance or a way out, as Satan is never, you know, allowed to trap us up, to block us in or hem us in with the temptation. No, we're very capable of our own. Not only to yield to temptation, but to allow the devil to completely hem us in. Many times when we willingly entertain temptation, it is so that we can carry it out. Temptation is not sin. Being tempted is not sinful. Temptation is an experience in life, you know? It's the red car instead of the gray beater. It's the little extra we want in things. It's the thing we decided we need or can't live without. In other words, our new gods or our tempters. But Satan is never permitted to trap us with a temptation. And that's important to know. That God provides a way. If there's no sin in temptation, there's certainly sin in yielding to temptation. And, I struggle with my weight. And so what I discovered a long time ago, still haven't been able to really match up my emotional strength with my spiritual maturity and get all those things in line to have 100% victory. But I can tell you that, a lot of football teams, if they have an 80% win record, that's really great. And it pretty much, if you can do 85% in your schoolwork, you're going to be a passing scholar. But unless you can have 100% resistance in some things, you may as well be at 40 or 20 or 30%. But some things take total commitment in order to see them through. But you can rest assured that God provides the strength to do those things. There's no sin in being tempted. The sin comes when we mishandle temptation. A lot of times what we do is we create a circumstance, I won't get into other religions, but, where we plan to sin beforehand so we work out our forgiveness. God, I might sin on this one, A lot of times sin comes because we've been planning to let it come. We've been planning to succumb because we owe it to ourselves. We plan to sin because we've been through a lot emotionally. I think I've told you all the story of me catching myself one day. My brother had passed away, and then it was like 2 months later, a really good friend of his and mine also passed away. I felt obligated to go to the funeral, so I showed up at the funeral, and I did the emotional work of being there and, you know, not crying and doing the guy thing. And when I left from there, I was in this little town, and I just started looking for a hamburger. And I started looking down streets, you know, and then before long I was riding around desperately looking for a hamburger place. And before I knew it, I was panicking that I wasn't finding a hamburger. And I didn't, you know, just, what is it where they don't have hamburgers in these little towns? And before long, you know, my head was exploding. It was some time after that before I realized I was seeking some kind of comfort in an established pattern of yielding to temptation in order to medicate myself. This is a pattern. Emotional medication is something I deal with on a day-to-day basis. But I'm learning that 80% of the victory is not enough. And so may God give me 100% success in dealing with temptation. When you get into difficulties that you created, that's one thing. But a lot of times you get into difficulties that Satan has laid up for you. Satan is an amazing student of human behavior. And he knows you, and he knows the places where the weak spots are. And if he doesn't see any, he prowls around for some, as Scripture tells us, he prowls around like a lion. And so once that is exploited in our life, we have a responsibility to recognize it. And usually it's right smack in the middle of something it's really sincerely important to us. I get a lot of comfort in knowing the Apostle Paul, this giant, right, this genius, also was tempted. And he had words to write about it. He says in Romans 7, "For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in me." And so the best suggestion I can give you in working to have victory over temptation is to flee at the sight of it, to shut it down at the front end, to not go there, to not entertain that. Don't click on that link. Don't do it. It's much more behind that link than what you saw on the icon. There's a lot there to fall into. Don't do that. Just don't. Don't create things you have to starve out of your memory, you see. Another thing Satan does is work within shame. A lot of our temptations we succumb to are built in our shame. The things that were programmed in our childhood, things we were taught that were shameful or to be ashamed of. And so when we yield to those temptations, Satan brings a shame hammer and beats you over the head with it, you know, and says, "Stupid, stupid, stupid. You can't do this. You can't, you know you're not good enough." And all of those things. Shame is a powerful, powerful tool in our destruction. I've been working hard with my grandsons to try to build shame out of their lives. They're just plain human experiences that are bound up in shameful behavior, shameful treatment of people who are experiencing things. And so they need a clear voice, someone to say, you know, don't be ashamed. This is common. This happens to all of us. You don't need all that baggage following you around, making you fail at this. Forgive yourself. Get up in the morning and be free again. Dust yourself off. Jesus, and this is what I love about our Wesleyan concepts around salvation. We have been saved, and we have an assurance of it. But we know that we are being saved day by day by day. Because in our growth in holiness, we understand that we didn't know how much we needed God's grace. that day by day it's needed more and more. But all this is the front side of temptation. What about the back side? We read in the scripture, Jesus came into Galilee full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, there's nothing like experiencing victory and allowing yourself to have the victory over temptation. To say, yeah, you know, I did it. With the Lord's help, it worked. It was wonderful. Jesus, while he was in the wilderness, used a phrase. And I wouldn't suggest you use this phrase unless you can complete the sentence. But the phrase was, it is written. God's word accompanied Jesus into the wilderness. In his heart and mind, when Satan raised an issue before him, Jesus was able to confront Satan with God's word. His victory came not through human effort, but through God's assistance in God's word. And as we come through our trials using God's word, we rise to a new place in our discipleship. We have a new strength in our witness and a new comfort in our security in knowing that we are safe. You know, metal is always tried before it's put to use. The worst things can happen when you try to build a bulldozer out of 16-gauge steel. It's not even a Tonka toy. Right? Knowing the application and knowing the kind of metal involved is key. And God himself knows the kind of metal he needs to put in you. There never has been an opportunity given to anyone for greater spiritual service that wasn't accompanied with greater temptation. And so many times people pray, give me more, Lord. I want to be more responsible in the kingdom, God. Just equip me. I want to be a bristling, you know, I want to be like a man of war for your kingdom's sake. And we don't realize that what God has to do first is fire the metal. And God doesn't tempt anyone. Let's be clear. But where there are weaknesses, temptation comes. And we need to be aware of that if we seek to be more effective in God's kingdom. Paul said in the Galatians 5, live by the Spirit, and you will not obey the desires of the sinful nature. I know we all have this picture of God coming running to assist us in the middle of our troubles. But can God find you if you've willfully withdrawn yourself from his presence? If the only time that you're ever calling upon God is, help God, help God. Have you achieved or attained any level of spiritual maturity in your walk with God? The truth is, most of our calling to God is simply a test for God to pass. And we've already passed judgment. And so many of our young people think they figured it out because of our poor example. They see God doesn't really come through. But really what it was we weren't living close to God. We weren't walking hand in hand with God. And when temptation came, we succumbed. And we prayed a lost man's prayer. Until there's an intimacy with God that knows God's assistance is at hand, we're not only failing at resisting temptation, we're leading others to misunderstand God. God is not a cosmic bellhop. We went to Myrtle Beach to a training event last week, and there was a guy standing. You know, I've never gone to a hotel that was good enough for him to have a person that all he did was stand there. But the captain of the bellhops or whatever, I don't even know what they call him, he's standing at the door. Every time I came down the stairs, there he was standing there. I thought, wow, that is a cool job. I bet Mike Hooker would love that job. God doesn't stand around waiting for us to call out in our need. God's not a Christmas Santa Claus to fill out our wish list. And yet that is exactly the point where most immature Christians place a test on God. And they say, well, God just doesn't show up when I call. So you think about that when you figure it out. When we have the Spirit right residing in our heart, we're experiencing a moment-by-moment presence with God. When temptation comes, we begin to see it for what it is because of the power of God in us. The backside of temptation is greater spiritual awareness and a nearness to God and a saturation with God's Word. We may view temptation as our worst enemy, and in many ways it is, but it is no sin to be tempted. It's only sin when our sinful will embraces it and runs to it. In my time on earth, I've witnessed a lot of people I admired succumb to sin of different kinds, temptations. It's been helpful for me to realize that a person's cross may not be of the dimensions my cross is. You know, sometimes I would just wish God would take this cross from me. And just about the time I'm ready to turn it in, St. Peter's standing there ready to size me for another one, and I say, whoa, where'd you get that one? He says, well, that was Justin's. Well, I don't want Justin's. Look, my gosh, look at the size of that cross. I don't want that. I'll take mine back. Folks, all around us are carrying their own cross. Jesus said, if you come after me, follow me, first lay down your own life, but then take up your own cross. Folks, many of our temptations, so named, are really just the aspects of the cross that God has intended for us to carry. And trust me, you don't want my cross, and I sure don't want yours. Because many a times, the troubles I face in my faith, the things I label temptation, they're really nothing more than what is common to man. So many of my trials are the simple little things that people of great faith have experienced the strength and power to overcome in the power of God's Spirit. Let that be a story and a lesson for us today. We're going to take a minute and we're going to say, God, create in us a moment to receive your Spirit's help when temptation comes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a minute to reflect and then we'll continue with our service. Thank you.